I'd like to talk a little bit about prayer this morning, a mother's prayer. And as I mentioned before, today we honor our mothers. And I want to encourage you and help you to ask you to stay tuned in. Some of the principles I want to share with you I think can apply to any Christian, any parent, any mom, any dad, any lady. I know living years and years in Europe, there wasn't much of a celebration of Mother's Day per se, but they had Women's Day every year that they honored ladies in general. So you stay tuned in with me this morning. If anyone could be a prayer warrior, it should be a mother. If you raise children, you have said more than one occasion, "Oh Lord, what am I going to do? Oh Lord, what have I done?" Whatever the case may be. No one can pray more intensely and earnestly than a mother for her child. No one can have that special hug and a little kiss to make everything feel a little better when you're not feeling well like a mother. In our text, Hannah said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition for which I have asked of him." See, there's no greater blessing than having a mother that can go boldly before the throne of grace and receive answers. What an honor as a mom or dad. What an honor, especially as a mom, to receive a phone call from a friend or for one of your children or one of your grandchildren and asking you, "Would you pray with me? Would you pray about this?" There are several things that a godly mother should pray regarding her children. And if I can extend that, as I mentioned, there are these things can be applied to a mom, to a grandmother, and now that we are grandparents, our prayer life has changed once again. When our children were home, we could reach out and get a hold of them when we needed to. When they got older and went away from home, our prayer time, I think, went a little bit longer, a little bit stronger, a little more intense, because mom and dad wasn't there to get a hold of things and fix things. We had to give them unto the Lord. And now we have grandchildren, 8 of them, and now our prayer life has changed once again in the aspect of not just praying for our children, but praying for our grandchildren, and they may be saved at a young age. But oh, the prayers of a mother. Again, here in our text, "For this child I prayed." Today, I would like to consider prayers that are both priorities and those that are non-priorities. First of all, let's look at the non-priorities. First of all, letter A, possessions. Now, don't misunderstand, there's nothing wrong with having things, but you could be a billionaire and not buy your way to happiness nor your way to heaven. Possessions and things aren't everything, but what's important is that we possess a knowledge of the saving grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 through 21, speaking of possessions, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where their lives, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The Bible tells us again in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Oh, how a mom is so good at teaching children and providing for things, but teaching them that things aren't always the main thing. Nothing wrong with possessions, nothing wrong with having things, but where are our priorities and the things that we have? Whether it be teaching our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews about sharing, about giving unto others and letting others go first, teaching them those things. Not only possessions as a non-priority, but notice popularity. Popularity. We all want our children to be well liked by their peers. No one wants little Johnny or little Susie being picked upon, but often we must pay too great a moral price to be popular. Folks, we want to be popular. We want our children to be popular. Mothers, we want those kids and grandchildren to be popular. Let it be known of their popularity because they're one, a young person who loves the Lord, who loves God and talks of him and sings of him. Again, popularity. Luke 6, 26. "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Luke chapter 9 and verse 25. "For what is a man's advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway?" We need to pray for our children. Mothers, I appreciate the prayers of a mother as I did my very own, but possessions are a non-priority. Popularity is a non-priority. And we see this again in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance nor his height of his stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Teaching our children as well that aspect of possessions not being a priority and popularity, but not what people see, but what God sees. And then we see pleasure. Pleasure. We certainly do not want our children to partake in sinful, lustful things or in the pleasure of this world, for they are only for a season according to the Word of God. Hebrews 11:25 tells us, choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Proverbs 21 and verse 17, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. You know, there's nothing wrong with these things, nothing wrong with having things, nothing wrong with popularity, there's nothing but for being popular for the right reason, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying things, of having pleasure, but those are non-essentials. Those are not priorities in a prayer life of a godly mother. Let's look at number two, not only the non-priorities in prayer, but let's look at the priorities in prayer. Things that should be at the tip of our tongue, on our mind when we pray for our children, for our grandchildren. And by the way, let's also remember to pray for the little ones among our congregation. Boy, what a thrill to look back. And I know I teased a little young lad back there to have 6, 8 girls all around him, and those young girls and young men going out and going to children's church this morning. Make sure you let them know that you appreciate them. Make sure you let them know that you're glad they're here. And I'll say something real quick. I'll get back to my message. Little Ivy said the other day about how much she enjoys coming to church at Harvest with Papaw and with Grams. She said the people there are so nice and so friendly. Is that something else she said? Yes. She says, I am so kind to them and they are so kind to me. In her own little way, she is saying, they treat me well, and I want to treat them the same way. And those are the good things our children need to learn among God's people. Number two, priorities in prayer. What should our priorities in prayer be concerning our children? What should our priorities in prayer be concerning the children of Harvest? What should be our priorities in prayer concerning our grandchildren, even the little children and those running around in our community and playing? Let's not limit those to just ours, but also others. First of all, salvation. If Hannah could ask God for a child, surely she had every right to ask the Lord to save him and to put him into God's service. The last thing you want for your children, is for them to go to hell. Every mother wants her child to succeed. Every mom wants their family members to succeed, their children, their grandchildren. Every dad wants the same thing. But the priority should be, first of all, salvation. It doesn't matter what they grow up to be. It doesn't matter how God uses them or what path they walk. But the most important thing is coming to know the Lord at a young, tender age. John chapter 3 and verse 16 through 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The greatest gift is not just prayer a mom can provide for a child, but I think the greatest gift that a mom can provide for a child, a mother can provide for her grandchildren, and even others, is for them knowing that they know the Lord. But for them to know that I have a mother, a grandmother, an aunt, I have a lady in my life, a woman in my life that knows God, talks to God, and wants to share their God with me. And that starts with salvation of the mother herself. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. Priorities in prayer. Let's make sure that we're praying for the salvation of our children, our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews. Dear friends, I come from a large family. My dad only had 9 brothers and 6 sisters. Mom has 6 sisters and 2 brothers. I've got cousins that I probably have never met, others that I have not seen in many years. And when we have a family reunion, we pretty much have to reserve the whole county to get everybody in. And I still pray for some of those that have not put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When my grandmother was still alive and we would have those family reunions down outside of Bristol, Tennessee in Steeles Creek Park, every year we'd go by, and later when I surrendered the ministry, I was always asked to open in prayer. But my biggest thrill about going to those family reunions is trying to find out, since the last time I saw them, who trusted Christ as their Savior, how things were going. And oh, how important it is for us to pray for the salvation. Mothers, to pray for the salvation of your children and other children in your life, whether it be your children, your grandchildren, your nieces or nephews, the children of our church, or even the children that live in your community. Next, for not only salvation, but sanctification. Sanctification is God's work in us to prepare us to separate us from sin and make us to be more like the Son of God. Are we more like the Son of God today than we were yesterday? John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Not only praying for the salvation of our children, but praying that they would be more like Christ. And the best way to pray for them and to show them how to be more like Christ is be that example in being like Christ. Oh, how our world needs more ladies, more women willing to be in the image of the Son of God. Well, I tell you what, it did not take me very long here living in Arizona. It did not take me long when the weather warmed up, where I began to wonder if I need to start wearing blinders in public. Come on now. Not everyone knows how to put enough clothes on when they go out in public and guard my own eyes. And the best way to be sanctified, that part of being separated from the world, separated the likeness of Satan and the things of the world, and being more like Christ. And we need more ladies, more women, more moms, more grandmothers willing to live that type of life, to be holy, separated, and living example before those around them. John 17 and verse 19, For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And then Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Praying for our children. Praying for their salvation. Praying for their sanctification. Encouraging them and living it out by example and teaching them. I have been so blessed through the years of not only having a mom who makes sure that I was in church growing up, having a grandmother that I knew that prayed for me, encouraged me. And my grandmother Cook is in heaven now, but I know as a missionary, she would never say it publicly, especially around a family reunion, but she would always whisper in my ear and hug my neck and say, "Don't you tell anyone, boy, or I'll beat you." But she said, "You are my favorite. Only because you're a preacher. Only because you're a preacher." And she would pray for me, and I miss, and I know she went before the Lord in prayer. I know she asked the Lord to help me. I know she rejoiced in my sanctification and my desire to be separated and used of the Lord. But she would pray for my protection and other areas of life and ministry. And I thank the Lord for what she had done in my life. And dear ladies, I know there's others out there. There's others in this congregation that are thankful for you, for the role that you play for them in their life. Let's go a little further. Not only do we see salvation and sanctification, but notice submission. The Bible tells us to submit under the mighty hand of God. It is only then that we can resist the devil. If they learn to submit, they can resist the effort of Satan to deceive them. And dear friends, we learn and encourage and we teach our children to submit themselves to authority, at the same time to remember if they can submit themselves to mom and dad, if they can submit themselves to authority in their life, it comes natural to submit themselves to the things of God. The Bible tells us in James 4:7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you." 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that they may exalt you in due, that he may exalt you in due time." And then Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Dear ladies, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Continue to pray for the salvation and the sanctification and the submission of our young people. They will be willing to submit themselves to those that are in authority over them, but most importantly, submit themselves unto the Lord. so often when we were growing up. So often I raised this in Sunday school, of how many remembered what they wanted to be when they grew up. How many of you remember what you wanted to be when you got big? I wonder how often do we ask young boys and young girls and children, or when they're a little older as teens, ask the simple question, what is it that God wants you to do? Have you considered and thought to yourself, what does the Lord would have you to do? You know, I went through much of my life, even though I was in church, even though I was trying to be a good kid, involved in school, involved in the community, as I mentioned before, playing ball and all those things, involved in my youth department. But you know, I was never challenged. I was never challenged when I was about 17 years old when somebody had the audacity to ask me, so you want to be a ball player? So you want to play college ball? Did you ever wonder what God wanted you to be? I know about you folks, but I wasn't very happy with my Hubba Bubba in my front pocket and my can of Skol in my hip pocket. Can't play ball without tobacco and chewing gum. At least I thought you couldn't, but you can. I was challenged that day with what I wanted to do as opposed to submitting to what God wanted me to do. Oh, if we could teach our young children at a young age about submission, doesn't just apply to mom and dad. Submission doesn't just apply to the authority in our life, but submission applies to what the will of God for our life is. What would the Lord have me to do? Salvation, sanctification, submission. And then let's look at something else. What about stability or steadfastness? We should want them to be steadfast in the word of the Lord. Stand fast in the word of God. They do not have to serve sin if Christ is real to them and present to them. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 33 and verse 6, "And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." Folks, the best way to help our kids in this area, the aspect of salvation, sanctification, submission and stability or steadfastness, is learning and realizing something about our children. Would you not agree with me, the older you get, that your memory doesn't improve? You know, I forgot what I had for breakfast this morning. Did we have breakfast? Yeah, I know we had breakfast. We forget. And I think it's important that we can help our kids with this aspect of salvation, sanctification, submission, and stability is to help them to get in the Word. Memorizing Scripture. It amazes me, still today, raising my children. I knew my kids memorized Scripture. They learned Scripture. They had the privilege of going to a Christian school some and then being homeschooled. But we encouraged them. They learned the alphabet by learning Scripture. A is not only for apple, but also stands for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. All the way through the alphabet, there's a verse of Scripture with this education that they received in learning that. And along with that, they also memorized Scripture. And there was times I looked at stuff and I thought, man, they got to memorize all these poems, all these verses of Scripture, and even maybe a whole chapter. And I was amazed at these young children, how they could absorb it and they can soak it in at a young age. I can recall passages of Scripture that I've memorized from a youth, but I'll be honest with you, I'm only 59, but there are some times I have a hard time rememorizing or memorizing new Scripture. It doesn't always stick the first time. I got to go over and over and over and write it out and write it out and write it out. And then finally, I just convince myself, I'll just put it on paper and read it. But you know, it's a good time with our kids. One of the ways that we can help them with stability and steadfastness is encourage them to memorize Scripture. Think about that for a moment. The Bible says, resist the devil and he shall flee from you. What about all the other passages of Scripture they could use and have recall to help them even as a child? It's wonderful when your kids know Scripture. It's wonderful, but sometimes it is embarrassing too. It is. You ever been in a grocery store and they point out the sins of others and quote Scripture to go with it? Vocally, out loud. But you know, I get a little embarrassed, but also chuckle at the same time and swell up a little bit of pride that they knew what reference went with that sin. Stability. Moms, dads, mothers, ladies, as the theme is for today, encourage them to memorize Scripture. Encourage them to get into the Word. I don't want to tell you how to do it. I think I made a mistake. There was time with our kids when they get in trouble, I would make them write out Scripture references for the sin they had committed. If I had to do it all over again, I don't think I'd have done that. I think I'd have just encouraged them to memorize Scripture because it was important. because sometimes it was a little, they saw it as a chore as opposed to a joy to know God's word. It encouraged them. It still amazes me even now with our grandchildren. See, they've got, one of them's got a program coming up next week, and the things they are asked to memorize, the poems they're asked to memorize, and they just rattle them off. And I think to myself, man, I've got to make sure they also know just as much of the Bible as they know about the poems and the things that they are learning. The best way that we can provide, ladies, stability for our children, for our grandchildren, the young people of our church, the people of our community, to have an opportunity to teach them and encourage them to memorize Scripture. Salvation, sanctification, submission, stability, and then lastly this morning, safety. God could be with them when we cannot be there. God is, but we can teach them that God is omnipresent. The Bible tells us in Psalm 139, verse 7 through 10, never take for granted the blessings of having a mother of prayer. Let me read that passage of Scripture. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take up the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Dear ladies, never take for granted the blessings of being a mother of prayer, a grandmother of prayer. Again, those non-priorities, nothing wrong with possessions, but they should not be our priority in prayer. Teach our children not to just pray for things, but pray for people as well. Popularity is a wonderful thing to be known, especially if you're known as a godly man, a godly woman, a godly young person. Popularity is fine, but for the right reasons. And of course, pleasure. There's nothing wrong with enjoying one another, but those are not the priorities in prayer. Those things that we should beseech the Lord on the behalf of our children, of our community, of our church family, is first of all, salvation. And dear ladies, if you're here today and you don't know that you're saved and on your way to heaven, why not come to the Lord today? Why not take that step and trust Christ that you could be the best mother that your child could have by living a godly example of following Christ? And not only salvation, but sanctification. Saying, I am setting myself apart for the use of the Lord. I know God may not use me in a full-time capacity, but God could use me in being a godly mother, encouraging others, setting an example, and serving Him. And then there's that aspect of submission. You know, everybody wants to be the boss. Nobody wants a boss. But dear friends, when it comes down to it, we answer to the Lord. Everything we do, everything we say, everything we don't say, and everything that we don't do, the matter of submission. The best way to teach submission is to be submissive ourselves. And then that sanctification, once again, are we set apart? Do we desire to be more like Him and less like the world? And then that stability, teaching them, encouraging them, propping them up, getting under Scripture, and challenging them to memorize the Word of God, and then teaching and praying for their safety. Oh, how grateful I am. It's encouraging to know when we have our midweek service and we have our prayer service and we have our prayer list. It's in our bulletin every Sunday. We even have a category of safety for those who are traveling to and from. Those that have traveled in to see us, some of you may have been an unspoken or on our prayer list as families traveling in for safety for Mother's Day weekend or whatever the holiday. But day by day, praying for the safety of our children. Lord, put a hedge about them. Father, protect them from sin today as they go out. Father, help them to remember who they are in Christ. Father, help them to submit themselves to those who are in authority over them, those who desire to teach and encourage them what is right. And Father, help them to be steadfast, to be stable in the Word. Help them to recall the verses of Scripture they learned when Satan comes knocking, that they have an answer. Father, protect them. Put angels about them. Keep them safe. And dear friends, ladies, once again, the best prayer that we can pray for our kids is for them to come to know the Lord at a young age. And ladies, again, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, why not trust Him? If you're here today and maybe you've made a profession some years ago, maybe you follow the Lord in believer's baptism, but you felt like you've just kind of drifted and maybe not what you could be, should be, or used to be, why not today say, Lord, help me to get back to the place that I need to be as a mother. This sets the example for those that are watching me, that I may be the mother, the grandmother, the aunt, or whatever it may be, the godly example for the young people, the young children in our community. Help them to see Christ in me. Let's stand together with prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. There's no one looking around this morning. Maybe you're here today, the altars are open. Maybe there's a lady here today that would like to come and pray and ask the Lord to forgive them and help them to be the mother they'd have them to be and to get right with the Lord. Maybe there's a mother or lady like to come and just pray, say, Lord, help me to be the mother, the godly mother, grandmother that you would have me to be. And don't let me just limit that just to ladies. Whether you're here today, a grown man or a grown woman or a young lady or a young man, are you doing, are you submitting yourself to what you need to be and what God would have you to be? Father, bless her in this time of invitation. Speak to the hearts of your people. May they respond in submission to you. Not a challenge from the preacher, not just something I said, but what the Word of God said, what the Spirit of God has directed them to do. Would you bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still bowed.